Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's a Patriots Monday edition of OMF with Lou Merlone.
Reality check Monday here.
Too many people living in the old days.
I just don't think you're that good.
Christian Fourier.
The Texans have packed their car. Their car is running and they're waiting for the offseason.
And Glenn Ordway.
What do the Patriots do best offensively? They run the football.
J.J. Watt blowing it up in the backfield.
At least some people had a good weekend, right, Jason Tatum?
Jason Tatum has agreed to a 5-year, $163 million extension with the Celtics.
Bill Belichick joins the show at 2:40. Now it's time for OMF.
Shoot, man, Colts is state of mind.
On EEI.
So we've had a lot of titles for these Monday shows after Patriots games during the course of the season. You know, moral, loss, victory, whatever. So this is today, Acceptance Monday. We accept what they are. Unfortunately, Lou Merlone may, in the end, be closer to his prediction than anybody else. Yep.
Which one? The first prediction or the second prediction?
Or the third or the fourth?
I'm not really sure. Which one are we going to use?
Oh, stop
which,
it.
Which one,
hey,
Lou?
Stop pretending like I haven't nailed this team from the start.
No one's saying. Listen,
they're not
I'm
very
just saying.
So humble, Lou.
And
so
I'll say this. The tank is still on. You know, I know last week it was like, well, you know, they beat Baltimore, which kind of screwed everything up. But this loss gets them right back to where you need to be, right? I mean, it kind of gets them. And now I'm even more pissed off about that Baltimore game. This is just who they are. They're not a very good football team. Again, I wanted to sit back and enjoy last week against Baltimore's win and just sit back as a fan and say, you know what? I enjoyed that game. It was a great victory. But people wouldn't let me do it because then the overreaction Monday was out of control. Now Bill can draft. Now this is a playoff team. Watch out. They can still win the East. So that turned me negative from trying to enjoy a game. So now I'm sure you guys were all probably sitting home. You won't call in, right? Because you all thought they were great and I was wrong and everything else. But no, I pretty much told you they're going to lose here. I almost had the score. They are what they are. And they're right back in that tankathon. And if they didn't win that damn game against Baltimore, they'd probably be sitting here right now with both the sixth pick of the draft.
But that is exactly what they are. When you sit here and talk about the tank is still on, there is no tank going on with the players. I mean, they've had more injuries and another serious one yesterday.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised at all if down the rest of the way they surprise somebody like the Rams or something like that. Because I think they're capable with the coaching staff of coming up with a game plan that can rankle that other team, that can mess up that other team. Here's the problem. They can't do it week after week after week because they're simply not good enough. And their defense is getting exposed now.
Yeah, and I would say that I think you went up a couple classes in comparing Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. I can't believe we were questioning whether or not Deshaun Watson was a top 10 quarterback. I'm actually ashamed. And I compare
him. No, he's a top 10 quarterback. I just didn't think he was the third best quarterback
in
the league.
That's fine.
Or top five.
Yeah. The fact is that stopping Deshaun Watson and stopping Lamar Jackson to me are two completely different things.
Yeah.
And not like you're going to get any reprieve or any break in the action because Kyler Murray's coming to town and that guy's even quicker and is just as impactful. But I'll say this, here's where I'm going to start with. You know, we've been really critical of Cam Newton since the beginning of the season, probably giving him too much praise and probably being too hard on him. Ultimately, this loss yesterday, it's not Cam Newton's fault. I would say the reason you lost is not because of Cam Newton. So quit with the high expectations of what you wanted him to be. That's not who he ever was. So blame yourself for wanting too much from him. But in this game, he gave you enough to win. He did enough to help you win. So was he perfect? No. Guess what? He's never going to be perfect. There wasn't any interceptions. There wasn't any fumbles. Well, they didn't have any either. But your problem is not Cam Newton. Your problem is so much bigger now. And the more games that are played and the longer you go through the season, the closer you get to the end, it becomes more and more obvious. It's more of a talent issue overall. A talent issue, but this loss, you're not going to pin this on Cam Newton.
Okay, I certainly agree with that. Though he was vastly outplayed in the first half, he came back, and he was a lot better in the second half. On the other hand, he's not the solution to this team. It's not like, and I'm already hearing it, people saying, well, they got to think about bringing him back next year. Why? He is what he is. We know what he is. He's exactly what you just said, Christian. He's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. In this league, you need better than okay at that position to be a playoff team. He's not one of those quarterbacks right now at this stage in his career. Seems to be a wonderful guy, terrific. I don't know about you guys. Were you a little taken back by what Boomer said this morning? Boomer Esiason on with Greg Hill. And this is what he's worried about with Cam Newton.
You have to remember, they're also playing on his offensive side to what the other offense is doing in this game. And Deshaun's running all over the place, making plays down the field. That puts an enormous amount of pressure on your own offense to throw the ball. So I still say, it, you know, it's a battle back and forth with Cam. He's not totally confident, but yet when he does do good things and he does win, you see the flamboyance that he has. But I also think that when he loses, man, he is down. We're all down when you lose. But, man, he goes through the extremes where I worry about. I worry about his mental state of mind, where he's at with himself physically. And only he knows that, but I just see a guy that really gets down on himself when his team's losing.
Can I just say this? I think that was the book on him coming out of Carolina. I don't think that's him. Do you?
I was going to say, Glenn, I wasn't sure where you were going with this, but I don't agree with him at all.
No.
Not at all.
I think he's been steady. Right. Extremely steady. He's not getting rankled by this stuff at all. He keeps on taking all of the fault. It's all on me. I don't know what Boomer's talking about.
I would say with him, my issues with Cam from afar, watching obviously when he was in Carolina, is the fact that he pouted a lot. Felt like he always was pouting. That was young Cam Newton. Old Cam Newton is a little bit more mature, a little bit more self-assured and aware of what he's capable of doing. I don't think he's really relying on pats on the back like some other people. He doesn't care. So where he's like, what are you going to take his shoelaces? Like, what are you nervous about?
I heard that this morning, and I'm like, what? I'm not seeing that at all. I mean, is he talking about what he wore for an outfit yesterday to show up at the game?
He does not look like he's preoccupied. No.
I don't think Cam obviously was the problem. Second half he was outstanding, and even when you look at it, 26 for 40, and like you said, he's not perfect, but yeah, there were so many. You were just low throws, guys wide open, the batted balls. Is that because he's so predictable?
Not reading the blitz.
It's such a long windup that these guys are getting their arms up and batting balls down, but a lot of these short throws at the ankles that the guys are trying to pull and catch. So you could say, well, he had a good game, 26 for 40, but there was a handful of throws there, and more than one or two where you said, Jesus, very easily could have been 32 for 40, right? Would that have made the difference? I don't know, but you're right. He wasn't the problem. The problem really was that it's the spectacular defense that everybody, talks about and thinks that you have, and it's just, it's been absolutely gutted, except, I guess, in a hurricane against a quarterback that can't throw.
No, I think you saw the outlier, and the outlier was the Ravens game. And by the way, you saw it again yesterday with the Ravens. They have their own internal problems, okay? They have issues. And so you probably caught them at the right time. And as I said, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see another one or two of these the rest of the way where this team goes out and plays their ass off. And because of good coaching, because of a good game plan, they knock off a team that they're probably the underdog on in that game. So they are what they are, guys, and we got to get to the defense, because if that was the one thing I think we were hoping that would be intact, even though they lost all those opt-out guys, that the defense would be decent enough to give them a shot to win. The defense did not do that. We'll do that coming up next. Bill Belichick joins us at 2:40. We'll get into the Celtics and what the hell happened to Danny Ainge. We'll get into that coming up in the second hour. It is a Patriots Monday. It's Acceptance Monday here on OMF.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The show that's open weekdays 2 to 6 for Patriots fans. It's OMF on EEI.
Hey, Bill, on third down through, it looked like most of the first half when you guys were on the field defensively, it looked like just trying to run or rush three or four players in those situations. Did you feel like you were putting enough pressure on Watson, and how hard is it to strike that balance between having enough in the secondary versus just trying to make the quarterback uncomfortable there?
Yeah, well, I mean, those are the choices you got to make. I mean, they got a lot of good receivers. They got a good quarterback. You know, they've done pretty well against pressure. Wasn't very good for us last year. We mixed it in there some. They did a pretty good job with, you know, with all of it, to tell you the truth.
That's interesting because he really just shifted and did just the opposite this time around. And we'll get to all of that. Bill Belichick will join us at 2:40. So Houston comes into this game without Laremy Tunsil, very good left tackle, best offensive lineman they have. Their left guard is out as well. They lose Randall Cobb, one of their receivers, after that first touchdown. Kenny Stills is pretty much a no-go in the entire game. They still have Cooks. They still have Fuller. But what do? They decide, you know what, we're going to burn up the middle of the field. Patriots are not real good there. And even though they got Stephon Gilmore back, we're okay. We'll go to tight ends. So Jordan Akins, Pharaoh Brown, and, of course, Darren Fells become a big part of their offense, and they destroyed this defense. This defense was horrible, guys.
You're talking about the Patriots defense?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It was, listen, Ben, I went from Cam to Ben Watson, really. Deshaun Watson did pretty much anything he wanted to. Anything he wanted. So people, hey, well, there's no pass rush. Well, you know, you're not blitzing every time, so you're kind of taking a similar approach to what you did last week against Lamar Jackson. But even when you had opportunities, because you were free and, you know, there were covered sacks almost to be had, he got away from it. He got out of it. And he's not the guy that's running all over the place to get first downs with his legs. No, he's scrambling to throw.
Yeah.
He's keeping his eyes down the field, and he's so pinpoint accurate. I mean, he did an unbelievable job keeping plays alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's so you give him credit. And when I saw the defenders, the Patriots defensive players just flopping all over the ground, like not even coming close, he's making them all look silly. Making them look silly. So to me, big picture, it's like it still comes down to this, you know, roster problem that they have. We don't have skill position players. So we bring in Kyle Duggar. He was smacking people, but he can't cover anybody.
No. Yeah.
He can't cover. So the tight ends, hey, we're going to start using our tight ends. Yep. Put Kyle Duggar on him. Okay, there's your hybrid type linebacker / safety. He can't stay up with them. He can't even run with them.
It's so weird. And then maybe last year, I don't know, maybe last week the rain and Lamar Jackson not being able to throw the football. But, you know, you go back like the last 3 weeks now and you're looking at Joe Flacco absolutely lighting you up. Okay, well, you didn't have Steph Gilmore. And then Lamar Jackson, he did a nice job defensively against that team. And then you come out here against this team here, and, you know, Gilmore's back. And you start thinking, man, with Gilmore and J.C. Jackson, the way he's playing, all right, they got some wide receivers. You mentioned those two guys go down. You know, you lose both of them, and you're like, well, Kuti comes in, and then you still got Cooks and you still got Fuller. And then wide receivers, even with losing two guys, are still like 20 times better than anything you got. And all of a sudden, they get torched in the air. And we said this before, like even at the beginning of the year, yeah, their secondary is their strength. But if their front seven might be so bad that you may never see that strength. And they've had their moments, but zero pass rush whatsoever. Eventually, these guys can run away from defenders. You know, you get a quarterback that gets out there. You mentioned rushing three guys. Yeah, they put some pressure, but all he's got to do is slip one. They're not going to catch him.
I thought it was interesting, though.
Piss poor performance by that defense.
Well, no see, question. I would say specifically, it's almost like, so you were really good against the run. Like, excellent against the run.
They don't have a running
back.
So
when you talk about all the yards, so the backs only got 19 yards. The Houston Texans backs only had 19 yards total. Deshaun Watson led the team in rushing with 34 yards. So, I mean, so and Bill talked about it afterwards. And listen, he pretty much did everything. Everything. Rushing, passing. He was their entire offense. And the one area where you could at least rely on, you can sleep at night with knowing that you have a bunch of skill position players in the secondary. It looks to me like everybody got old in a hurry. It looks to me like suddenly, like that's your weak link. Okay, start with Joe Flacco. We excused it away. Some of their receivers came back. You didn't have Gilmore. You go to next week, and it's raining like crazy. It's raining cats and dogs. You still don't have Gilmore, but it's Lamar Jackson. He's not really a great passer anyways.
Right.
You're not really concerned with that. So you have to attack this guy a little bit differently. He's special, this guy.
Well, they don't run. I mean, they have the worst running attack. I think the second worst running game, I think, in the league. And that's with Deshaun Watson getting his yards. Right? David Johnson, you make that awful trade for DeAndre Hopkins. He's broke. Everybody knew he was broke. So it's no surprise he's hurt. Duke Johnson's like a third down back.
He's not the old David Johnson, I can tell you.
No,
that.
But Duke Johnson's nothing, right? So he's just he'll catch the ball for you once in a while. He's nothing great either. So it was all about stopping Deshaun Watson all week long, planning for stopping Deshaun. You got Gilmore back there, and he just absolutely lit you up. And it's like you watch it going, this is supposed to be their strength. But again, zero pass rush whatsoever. So I don't know. Is Bill bad at drafting again after this week?
So I don't know.
I was going to say we're going back to that conversation.
I don't know. Everybody thought last week because of one game in the last 2 years his draft classes showed. But this year it's like you mentioned Duggar. He can hit. So against Baltimore, it's beautiful. Get him up there, right? Start hitting a running team. Get him up there. Let him hit somebody. But he can't cover a tight end at all.
So I don't have a problem with no pass rush. And he's right. Belichick is right. I looked it up last year. They got burned by that. All right. Trying to chase him around. The problem I have is that what Houston did is they said, we're going to the tight ends. We're going to the backs as receivers right out of the gate. And that's what they did effectively. With Akins had 5 catches, 83 yards. Fells had 229. Pharaoh Brown had 222.
Ooh.
And then Pharaoh Brown. Okay. And then they went to Duke Johnson as well. I mean, that's where they exploited the Patriots. They stayed away from Gilmore initially. Then eventually they opened up Cooks and opened up Fuller, right?
See, I think
the tight ends killed him over the middle.
If you're going to pick a side, if you're going to say, okay, who caused you to lose more? I don't know. Tee it up however you want. It's the defense.
Oh, no question.
The defense all day long. Because I would say as average as you are on offense, they're twice as bad offensively. Not only against the run, but against the pass. I mean, we're talking historic type numbers with this defense, with this Houston Texans defense. It's just terrible. Can't stop anybody.
I'm amazed because we talked about it all week, Glenn, and you kept pointing it out, too. They're going to run all over them, right? They're going to run all over these guys. You know, the worst rushing defense in the league. Damian Harris comes out in the first two drives. The first the first two drives, they get seven carries for like 36 yards in the first two drives.
Yes.
Seven carries, 36 yards. And one of them, obviously, that first possession, they went right down the field, and he put it in there from 9 yards. And then he came back, and I think the next two carries of the very first drive, he got a first down. It was like for four and for seven. And, like, that was it. Those are the seven carries I'm talking about. He went for four carries, 7 yards the rest of the way.
So how do you
get away from the run, your strength, against the worst rushing defense in all of football? I don't care if they load the box and give you the looks. It's still your strength, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's exactly what they did, what Fine. Houston did. They put bodies in there. They brought the safety up, and I don't know if it was Harris with the injuries last week, that they were concerned about him. I don't know, but they did bring extra bodies up, and you're right, Lou. They went away from the run and
said they brought up extra bodies?
I think they did.
Don't you think they brought extra bodies up against Cleveland with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb? Don't you think they brought extra bodies up to the front of the line against Derrick Henry, who ran for a crazy amount of yards, or
Dalvin
Cook? Or
I didn't see that game, so I don't know. Maybe they didn't.
My point is, I'm just saying. So we're going to go with this is like week 10, the first time they actually brought a front up, like an extra guy in the box?
They do that, and they still suck at it. They can't stop the run. But they do that if you're Houston, because you want to force them to throw the football. You think that that's where they're vulnerable, because Cam Newton is going to throw picks. Plus, you're a better defense, a pass defense, than you are a run defense. So you're going to sell out, and I think that's what Houston did. Now, it worked effectively. Now, the better question is, did the Patriots sell out at that point? Did they, instead of saying, screw it, they're going to bring extra bodies up, we're going to continue to pound the ball on them because we still think we can do it? Was that a mistake? Because I could see what Houston was doing. Well, obviously, they didn't run the ball effectively, so it didn't work for them. It was a disaster for them. Disaster.
No, I think it was a big mistake. I think it was. Last week, you had Joe Tooney screaming to the sideline, keep running it. I mean, they were standing on the ball, just basically telling the Ravens, we're running the football. I know there's some injuries there, too, but we are running the football. This is the strength of our team. Well, we have an offensive line that is healthy. We have a running back that has been absolutely outstanding the last 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it is. We have a quarterback that can run the ball well. This is what we do. You want to load the box? Fine. We're going to run the football. And I felt like after that first drive and the first two carries of the second drive, that was it.
Well, they abandoned it after they got stopped. So that's what was happening, and they were even trying to extend Harris outside, and the defense didn't give him the outside. So they were not having any luck with the running game
because of the way
that Houston was playing them. But you could argue the point, well, why not continue to do it? Maybe put a couple wrinkles in there, little play action. You open it up a little bit. And actually, I think they did have some success with the play action because of the run.
Well, anytime they start going into their bag of tricks with special, trick plays.
Oh my God!
It's just another indication of just how far away and how limited they are.
Yes.
But even with that, I still think they gave you enough. They gave you enough to put you in a position to win, and you couldn't close it out. Your defense actually made some key stops. Hell, even to the very, very end of the game. They get the ball back, right? So Cam tries it forward on fourth down. He can't get it. They get the ball back. They ended up having to punt to you. They punt you the ball. Listen, the odds of you winning are slim, but still.
They didn't stop them there. They just knew
they were going to run it three times. My point is that you got the ball back.
Whatever.
You got the ball back. Stop being so angry.
It's always angry. Monday's
no, I mean, after the ball, like a minute angry. And a half, you know, they ran it. The game was over. I got a question at the end of the game. We will ask Bill here in about 12 minutes. You don't try to, with 19 seconds left, you don't try to block that punt?
All right, it's a good question.
I mean, you actually set up a return for Gunner? Like, you're not setting up a return for, I don't know, give me someone who's good.
We stepped out, stepped back in.
I mean, with the way this special teams, the last year especially, like blocking punts, they got 19 seconds left. They're punting it from their own, like, 15 or 20. You don't go after that punt? You set up a return for Gunner?
Yeah, I don't know, though.
You would think he'd be giddy instead of angry here on Mondays, because a lot of this is showing that he's been right in his predictions. He's already patted himself on the back.
Sure, but I know I've been right.
And instead, he's angry. So here's what makes it worse going forward. If we look at this team and we believe that the identity of this team is running the football, they just lost Rex Burkhead for the season. And I'm not sure that you, even you, Lou Maroney, would have confidence in Sony Michel taking over that role. And if Harris is beaten up at all right now, and he may be, where is their running game going forward? And that basically is what they've got left.
They don't have anybody that can take over the Rex Burkhead role.
Correct. We just Burkhead's been really good this year.
We were praising him the other day.
Yep.
You know, just, you know, unfortunately, because of his health, right? We've always said, hey, listen, he's going to have a nicked up. Now, this looks like a serious injury, but used to like the ankle or the quad or something to keep him out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Next thing you know, it's like, geez, it's been 4 weeks since you've seen Rex Burkhead. What's he doing? This one was really bad.
This is going to make it more
and
difficult.
And you don't have a
now.
Back like him. You know, a guy that you feel like can run the ball and catch the ball, like James White, the runner, not so much.
Well, the other thing is you're kind of redundant at that position now.
Yeah, you are.
Because you got two of the same, and Harris and Sony, whatever. You can say, yeah, different styles, but they're basically the same guy. And then you got James White. That's it. Well, you got James White, which is, he's pretty
much
predictable.
Back. He's a third down back.
Well, no, he's a specialist in his own right. And then you have the two, I guess you call it first and second down backs, you know, that are pretty much the same. Then you got Rex, who legit could do either one. Either one. He was he's so flexible, so versatile in what he was capable of doing. Listen, it really just, I mean, I hate to bring this up, even just that back group, for what happened to James White, the terrible year that he's having just personally dealing with this father passing away and then his mother still being hurt and then Sony getting hurt and Harris being late and then Rex being out. I mean, that is a tough group right now as far as, because James White doesn't look right. He doesn't look right. He had some big plays, but ultimately he's not the same guy. He's not as impactful as he's been. It's here and there. So, I mean, listen, there is no one coming to save your ass. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
There's nobody coming to save you. So they did pretty much did everything they were supposed to do. Don't turn it over. They didn't turn it over. Don't give him a short field. Hey, Nick Folk, make all your kicks. You made all your kicks. You are in a position to win again.
Well, the Burkhead thing, I think, really hurt you badly because that was the one area, other than yesterday, that you could depend on. And we know that Harris is already physically beaten up. So what's his workload going to look like? I would also watch carefully that Isaiah Wynn injury yesterday in that game because you brought it up before, Christian. I think off the air we were talking about it. Illuminor came into the game, and he had major problems there. So if you lose Isaiah Wynn on the blind side, of Cam Newton, those could be two significant injuries.
Well,
so I'm going to ask you this. Your playoff hopes, the 8-8, making the playoffs, how are you feeling today?
Well, not good. Because I was fine with them losing some games, losing two games, but they can't lose this game. They could lose the games to the good teams that you're supposed to lose to. Now, I mean, technically you can sit there and say, they'll just beat the good teams now. I'm not buying it.
Six games to play. They fell a game behind a bunch of those teams yesterday with a loss. And, something that we said last week probably wouldn't happen happened. And that is the Denver has now moved ahead of them, and they are down to 11th place.
Well,
right
I will
now,
say this.
Because they lose the tiebreaker against Denver.
The other teams are doing what I thought they would do. Okay,
Miami
lost.
Yep.
Miami lost. Okay, and Tua got pulled. And
Ravens, Vegas.
The Raiders lost. So it's happening, but you have to hold up your end of the bargain. Like, they're doing what they're supposed to do, what I thought they would do, but you have to do what you're supposed to do, which is win and beat the teams that only have two losses. The fact that the Houston Texans only have two losses on the year, and they're two wins on the year, and they're both to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both of them are to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, you can say, hey, but they're a good team with a crappy record. Well, okay, fine, sure. Maybe they have external issues. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's ownership. Maybe it's Jack Easterby. Blame it on him.
Going into two, we mentioned briefly on Friday, like who they've played this year. I think it's 42-17 or something ridiculous, like the record. I mean, they opened up. Remember, we were talking about O'Brien. That first week they lost to the Chiefs. We said, oh, my God, look at this team. This team, for a good team, they got Chiefs. They open up with the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers. Those are their first three games. Then it was Vikings. They beat the Jags, Titans, Packers. I mean, that going into the bye, you're 1-6, and you're like, yeah, you probably should be. Maybe 2-5. That's a bitch of a schedule. That team's not a 2-7 team.
No.
And obviously they didn't look like it.
No, and the quarterback is very good, and I thought he was brilliant in that game yesterday. All right, this hour's been brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Rams Black Friday sales event. Bill Belichick joins us next right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Find us on Twitter at OMF on WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, it is Patriots Monday. The Patriots losers yesterday, so they are now 4-6 through 10. Six remaining to play. And the question is, how many of those six are they capable of winning? Next week's not going to get much easier, as Arizona Cardinals are here with another one of those quarterbacks that has got legs, and he can run, and he is
he's got legs,
quick.
All right.
Oh, my God.
He's kind of in between the last two guys, right?
Yes, I would say that's a good way of putting it.
I guess he's just as dangerous as Lamar Jackson on the ground, but I think Lamar's maybe just slightly a different level, right?
It's
he's
funny.
Like Deshaun Watson, but he's probably not the thrower. I mean, he'll chuck it. I mean,
he's really quick, though. I mean, he just is a burst of speed, and he makes that decision on what he's going to do, and then he loses you.
Of course, this will be one of those GTFBs. Right, because they do chuck it. I mean, they'll go to DeAndre Kirk. They'll chuck it. To wait and see how the injury is going.
Patrick.
A little AC joint though.
Yep.
From Mr. Kyler Murray.
Oh, and Cliff Kingsbury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Former Patriot quarterback.
I will say there's something about a guy who's athletic, who can throw, who can do all those things, but can make all of the big plays when the game is on the line. When the Raiders scored that touchdown last night, was there anybody that thought the Raiders were going to win that football game? I didn't.
Nope.
I didn't.
Nope.
Mahomes was unbelievable in that final drive. Mm-hmm. He was unbelievable.
I feel like he just sits there and says, now? No, not yet. And then now? No, not we're not yet. Okay, now? Yeah, and go now. And then he just goes.
Mm-hmm.
And he just turns it on and just turns into a psychopath wonder kid.
I laugh because he keeps on saying that he still has so much more to learn in this game. So you can only imagine. Oh, yeah. What Patrick Mahomes is going to look like when he finally reaches that level. Time for us to talk to the coach, Bill Belichick, brought to you by Massachusetts General Cancer Center. Everyday Amazing by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health. By Mercedes-Benz of your dreams. But hurry, because great offers will be gone in a flurry. Visit MBUSA.com today and buy Arbella Insurance. And joining us live on the Harbor One Hotline right now is Bill Belichick. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Glenn. Christian.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
How are you? Okay, I think we got the answer. A rough one there in Houston. So let's start with four losses now, where your team has certainly been in the game at the end, Bill. They've had an opportunity to win four of these games. They've lost four of them, and it's come down to that last possession, and your team has been unable to make the big play. And I know you believe in certain things. When there is a pattern, that means there is a problem, especially when things aren't going well. What is the problem, and how do you fix it?
Yeah, well, I think there's, we had a lot of opportunities yesterday, and the last drive was one of them, but there were a lot of other things that came up in the game that we could have done better, coached better, played better, that would have helped us along the way. So I don't think we just focus on, one or two plays at the end of the game, although they were, as they always are, critical plays, but there were a lot of other things that contributed in the game as well. So we'll just continue to try to build on the positives and correct the things that we need to, try to do better.
Coach, what does it say about your team that you're in that position to win the game? We know what the end is, but the fact that you're in there in that position is got to be worth something, right?
I mean, we've been competitive. We just, come up a little bit short a few times, and you know, just got to try to, like I said, keep working on the things that we're doing well and try to improve the things that we can do better to, you know, that'll help us more.
Coach, I think it was a couple weeks ago, Cam was on the morning show, and he had said something about you had told the team that, you know, that, listen, this league changes every couple weeks, and they're a lot better than the record showed. I think that was going into that Baltimore game. So we were just talking about you're in a lot of these games that you happen to lose. So now you're sitting there 4-6. Do you still feel that way about your team? You're better than the record shows?
I don't think I ever said that. I think we just got to keep working to get better. We'll take them 1 week at a time and, you know, try to get better this week against Arizona. I didn't say anything about our record. Not much to talk about there.
That was Cam Newton. Cam Newton was on the morning show with Danielle and mentioned that.
Right. But if you're asking me what I think, you know, is are we better than our record? Our record's our record.
You were asked after the game last night about pressure on Deshaun Watson, and you referred back to last year's game and how it didn't work when you did it a year ago. So I'm wondering what happened yesterday. They had 7 passes of over 20 yards. He had plenty of time to throw. Where were the breakdowns with a different type of game plan against this specific quarterback?
Well, I mean, look, they have a good offense. They have a good quarterback. They have good receivers. They have good tight ends. They have good backs. So they're a hard team to defend. And, so we just got to do a better job of it, you know. Coach better, play better, and just execute it better. But, you know, they hurt us on a few things, and, you know, that was just got to try to do better on those. Red area, third down. You know, we had some opportunities to make some plays and get off the field, and we weren't able to capitalize on.
So J.J. Watt was real active. He got his hands on 4 passes, batted down 4 passes. And I'm just curious, is there something to do with the way Cam releases the ball? Is it too flat? Is there something to do with his release point that gave Watt, like, a more opportunities?
I mean, I have to go back and look at each individual play. But, you know, look, he's a big, long guy. He's playing on the left side, defensive right, or offensive right. You know, he's batted down a few balls in his career. So a couple times we had, you know, shorter, quicker throws. And, you know, he's our guy to throw around.
Coach Damian Harris, the last, 3 or 4 weeks, actually, he's run the ball real well. I know the first 2 drives had, I think, 7 carries, 36 yards, and I think just 4 carries after that. Did the Texans show you guys something different they were doing this year to kind of maybe for him not to get those running opportunities? Was it more of what they showed you?
Well, I mean, we had quite a bit of success throwing the ball. We threw for almost 350 yards, so.
Yeah, in that first half, though, I mean, you went in the halftime trailing. It just seemed like after the first 2 drives, you just got away from him. I know going into the game, a lot of people, you look at this Houston Texans team, I think the worst rush defense in the league. You just thought it was going to be a big Damian Harris day.
Yeah, well, they're well coached. They've got good players. They did a good job of, you know, doing some things in the running game that were, you know, that were made it more advantageous to throw the ball. So we had a lot of production from it. I mean, we're going to be able to throw it for that, you know, that type of production. I don't think he wants to keep.
Well, I would say that the
do the best we can to take advantage of the opportunities. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Lou.
No, I'm not, Coach. I'm not questioning you. I'm just curious. That's all. Like, he didn't run the ball after that, and I just, I don't know. Just
we ran it.
What's that?
I wouldn't say we didn't run the ball.
We ran the ball 4 times after the first couple drives, that's all.
All right, let me ask you about, because you talk all the time about sustained drives, keeping your offense out there on the field, and you had a drive that went 16 plays, 9.5 minutes, and yet you ended up getting a 36-yard field goal out of it. when you really needed a touchdown. How much does something like that hurt when you're doing everything you need to do to keep your offense on the field, to keep a sustained drive, and then you leave 4 points out there?
Well, that, like I said, the red area is definitely an area we could have, you know, we could have done better in on both sides of the ball. That would have helped us, you know, a lot, like it always does. So, you know, we just need to be more effective in not only the red area, but just, I'd say, across the 50 in general.
You know, there were some, you know, you talk about, you know, passing game, you know, great day throwing the football. Guys, and one day it's seems like there's one guy steps up. So yesterday it was Damier Bird. Had a huge day, had a great catch for a touchdown, great adjustment with the ball in the air. And we've been really talking a lot about Jacoby Myers. I just thought maybe you can, you know, was it something that, were they taking away Jacoby Myers, or was it, you know, Damier Bird just, you know, working to get open and then having those opportunities?
Well, again, you know, just depends on the play that's called and the coverage that they play. You know, Houston's a team that runs multiple coverages, so it's, plays aren't designed to go to a certain individual. They're designed to, you know, go to the open guy. So, you know, Cam did a good job of making good decisions with the ball, getting it to the open player. You know, we used our backs, we used our receivers. And, you know, some of those throws that were, you know, against heavier coverage inside, you know, he went outside with. So,
Is it fair to say that maybe this goes without saying, Coach, is Rex Burkhead is a tough guy to replace?
Yeah, Rex does a lot of things for us. Sure does. Yeah, four down player.
Coach, another week, Kyle Duggar kind of, I don't know, this guy just always seems to be on the line hitting everybody in sight. Is that just something that you love seeing from a young kid? I mean, you know, given where he came from, Division II, I think it was, I don't even know, coming in here and just being physical in a very physical league, just this young in his career?
Yeah, Kyle's an aggressive player. You know, he's a good contact player. I like his style of play.
When you were talking with us a few weeks back, we were talking about obvious stuff right now, and you're playing more of these younger players. And Duggar's made some big plays, and Uche's made some big plays. Winovich, second-year guys, made some big plays. But do you have to treat it differently this year with these young players, that you have to be a little bit more patient with them because you're relying on them right now, where they make a good play on one play, and then the next play, Bill, is uh-oh?
I mean, I think we're trying to coach the team the way I've always coached it, same way for the staff. You know, we try to, you know, prepare the players and give them an opportunity to execute the things that we prepare them for and go out there and do them. And then, you know, you have to make adjustments during the game, of course, based on how the game's going and, you know, what your opponent's doing and so forth. But, you know, I see it a whole lot different than that.
Coach, end of that game, I think, I don't know, 19 seconds left, Houston's punting the ball. And I know, especially last year, you guys had so much success kind of getting in the punter's face, blocking punts. What goes into the decisions to go after the punt or to set up, say, a return?
Well, what you think's the best, what you think's the best strategy, what you think's the best thing you can do there. And so, you know, that's what we did. I, based on what happened yesterday, I'd probably do the same thing again. We didn't really get what we were looking for there, but, you know, that's the way it goes. So, you know, sometimes that's the way it is in a kicking game. Doesn't always work out quite the way that you you can't control everything in a kicking game. So, but we, you know, played what we thought were, you know, the right percentages there, but it just, you know, didn't work out.
So, out of the frying pan into the fire, from you go from Lamar Jackson to Deshaun Watson now to Kyler Murray, and you also see one-year-old players. What do you remember? I guess what stands out with Cliff Kingsbury when he was here? Any indication that he would be a head coach?
Well, yeah, I mean, Cliff was a rookie, was a young player. We drafted him, and it's just trying to learn as much about our offense and our system and the NFL as he could. Cliff's a smart guy, he's a hardworking kid, loves football, and it was always a pleasure to be around and have around, upbeat personality. But really always tried to do the right thing and be a good teammate and help in any way he could. So, I totally respect that.
Yeah, I remember him having just a lot of notes. Like, there was, like the pad of whatever he was writing on was, like, heavier than most other people. I mean, maybe that was a good sign.
Yeah, well, again, Cliff was a good learner, paid attention, had a good thirst for knowledge, and, like I said, loved football, so.
So you faced these quick, athletic quarterbacks. How would you describe Kyler Murray?
He's very athletic, quick and fast, just like he said. Really has a lot of tools, throws the ball well, it's hard to tackle, can escape the pocket, extend plays. He's hard to defend. They have good receivers, obviously, Hopkins, Fitzgerald,
yep.
Tight end, Drake. So, they got a lot of good players. They can move the ball and score points.
All right, well, it's time for the Mercedes-Benz Question of the Week. Make this season your reason to become part of the Mercedes-Benz family with limited-time offers during the Mercedes-Benz winter event. But hurry, these great offers will be gone in a flurry. Visit MBUSA.com today. I always chuckle when I read that. I don't know. Maybe because Bill's just, you're just sitting there waiting for me to finish. All right, Coach, so Thanksgiving. Obviously, is this Thursday. And I was thinking about, have you ever celebrated Thanksgiving where football wasn't a part of it?
No.
Never. It's always no matter when. It's obviously changed for you as a the older you've gotten. Is there one Thanksgiving celebration that stands out more than the rest?
We played, we played some games on Thanksgiving, played Thanksgiving games in high school. But Thanksgiving was always when I was a kid, Thanksgiving was always the Thursday before the Army-Navy game on Saturday.
Yep.
So that was a big weekend. So Thursday was Thanksgiving, Friday was the pep rally. Go to Philadelphia, Saturday was the Army-Navy game. So that was, it was always a big weekend. And, the Thursday game was like Texas A&M or Nebraska, Oklahoma or somebody like that. So the Army-Navy game was, kind of the only game. And the week before it was Michigan, Ohio State, and Auburn, Alabama, UCLA, USC, those big intersectional or those conference-type rivalries. So it was always big growing up, and then obviously, in the NFL, so, football definitely, Thanksgiving revolves around football from a schedule standpoint. And as Detroit, we played those Thanksgiving games, played Detroit here in, I don't know what year that was, 05, what year we played Detroit out there, somewhere. It's always been, I'd say it's always been a part of it.
It's a shame the high school kids are not getting the opportunity to play in Thanksgiving, especially the seniors. Trust me, it's a problem in our high school. Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah. No, when I was in high school, we, Annapolis and Severna Park always played on Thanksgiving Day, and that was a big day, just like, in Massachusetts high school, Thanksgiving game. So that was, that always made it, a special day there, too, not just the Thanksgiving dinner, but, football game and everything else. So, it was. It's always been a part of it, yep.
Real shame. Conversation with the Coach has been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off. Bill Belichick, have a happy Thanksgiving. Got Arizona on Sunday. We'll talk to you back here on Monday.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you Monday.
All right, Coach. Have a Thanksgiving.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.